Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. When you hear coach, your mind jumps to some sort of athletic event. You think of someone who was teaching you skills, motivating you, breaking you down, and building you up. And if you're lucky, someone who changes the direction of your life. But as adults, we don't have any opportunities, and we have very few opportunities to participate in those athletic events where there is someone in our lives there to make sure that we do our best and give us immediate feedback. But what if we as leaders, learners, and people sought out a coach? Today's episode is a discussion and a reflection on getting yourself the coaching you need to get to the next level of personal growth and satisfaction. There are two types of coaching that you can experience: self-coaching or outside coaching. Self-coaching is extremely difficult because you have to master self-reflection practices and mindset control. The second type of coaching is another person whose sole role in your life is to provide you the opportunity to have reflective conversations in an unbiased manner and give very candid feedback to you. Most of us think deeply about what has happened right after it happens, but too often we begin to think and create stories, and those stories spiral. So instead of letting those stories spiral and controlling your day or moment or week, let's create a process. Because whenever we in life have a problem, it's only because there's a lack of a process. Here are three processes to help you self-coach. Number one is some sort of an exercise upon completion of your work or decisions. In the military and public safety, they call it an after-action report. When self-coaching, you need a process to review what happened, and one of the best things you can do is to create a simple process for yourself. So on a piece of paper, draw a line down the center of the page, then turn the page and draw another line so that you have four squares. In the first quadrant, label it with the words, "What went well?" In the second quadrant, write the words, "Who benefited?" In the third box, write "Opportunities for improvement." And in the fourth box, which is my personal favorite every time I've done this, write the words, "I'm never doing that again." Take 30 minutes to write out your thoughts and then put the paper away for at least 24 hours. In each of the boxes, just do simple bullet points, words. It doesn't have to be a long narrative. But you need to put it away for 24 hours upon completion. Let your emotions calm and then go and review your thoughts in your after action reflection quadrant process document. The critical part is time. Be intentional and put space between the action and the reaction. The power of this is because knowing you're mentally going to return to your reflection sheet actually allows you to move forward with the rest of your day. Everyone is allowed bad moments, but we should not allow ourselves to have bad days. The second exercise is going to sound a little crazy, but we've explored this one before. Self-talk. Go somewhere and talk yourself through what happened. In the 21st century, all you have to do is sit in the car with the doors closed and start talking, and everyone assumes you're on a Bluetooth device. This strategy 15 years ago made you look like a crazy person, but today, no one knows if you're talking to your mother, yourself, or Oprah on the phone. Self-talk allows you to process your thoughts out loud and review and reflect upon your actions and the consequences. It's a little faster and won't take you as deep as the quadrant exercise previously discussed, but it is very effective, especially in allowing you to coach yourself through and reflect upon the actions and reactions that just happened. The last self-coaching process is the hardest technique for self-coaching. Challenge the story in your head by focusing only on the facts. Okay, so many times we take action and their consequences, but then we add up all kinds of fake facts. We think about what others may have been thinking, or what they might be saying, or how they may be feeling. But when we're self-coaching, we need to reflect upon what actually happened, not what others think, not what others think happened, or not what others are saying about it. We need to stop and reflect upon the facts in order to move ourselves forward. This is the hardest strategy in self-coaching because so many of us can't empathize for ourselves. and instead we make up all kinds of thoughts about how others are seeing our decisions or actions. Only one person knows why they did what they did, and that is you. You and you alone. So when self-coaching, you have to eliminate the noise of what you believe happened and focus only on what really happened. You can't grow or learn if you are not able to be true to yourself or the facts. You actually create anxiety when you allow yourself to go down the rabbit hole chasing those different stories in your head. Only the facts allow you to move forward. So let's talk about the idea of having an actual coach now, and the qualities you need to search for in that person. Many of us are fortunate to have family or friends that we can confide in or talk to about our issues, but few of us have a coach or mentor that will, at any cost, be honest with us. Too often our spouse or a friend will be honest, but they'll also be protective. When we fail or make decisions that have consequences that were unintended, our closest friends and families protect us. They reduce the blow and make certain that we're going to be okay. They rightfully worry about us. A coach, a real coach, they tell you like it is. And they worry with you, not for you, and know the difference. They make you confront your issues and help you hold yourself accountable. When looking for a coach in your life, you need to find someone who has strong integrity, cares about you, and is willing to protect you from yourself. If you are looking for a coach, it should not be someone who you are really close with before you ask them to coach you. I say this because if you have a previous relationship, there are automatic barriers that exist to being completely honest with you that are all caused by previous experiences. As a leader, you need to find someone that you can create a contract with. Here's how you do it. Your first meeting, you tell them what you value most. I want to prioritize my family, then my career, then my health, then my hobbies, my learning, etc. And once you've established these core personal values, it is the coach's job to hold you to these values. It is the coach's job to remind you in your decision-making process what is important, and it is the coach's job to see you through the storm, motivate you, and force you to reflect. I have been fortunate for the past decade to have been coached, and I can tell you, it's powerful. There is no one at work that you can truly confide in and share everything with, not because you don't want to or you don't trust people, but leaders recognize the burden that they place on others when they share their issues, and you can only share so much with your loved ones before your burdens create problems in other environments. But when your coach or mentor is available, and you share with them what is going on, they tune you up. They break you down and build you up. You get to share all of your true worries, all of your concerns, everything you're thinking about, and all of the ideas. And they are quick. The coaches are quick to inquire further, challenge you, make you think, and share their thoughts with you about what your current mindset is or why you're making the decisions you're making. You know you've got a great coach when you feel like you're talking into the mirror and the mirror speaks back as a reflection of your consciousness. Great coaches have three qualities. Number one, listening. Two, candor. Three, care. They hear your ideas, they share back with brutal honesty the facts, and they demonstrate how they own your success by keeping you on the straight and narrow. Leaders who think they know it all learn a hard lesson the day they are looking in the mirror and can't figure out what happened. Those know-it-all leaders look into the mirror blindly, trying to blame and to work and to convince themselves that everything is everyone else's fault. Leaders who have coaches will share their concerns, begin to cast blame on others, and compare or justify everything that went wrong. And when the coach responds, the coach will hold up a figurative mirror so that the leader can see the real problem. That same coach then stops you from filling your head with stories and guides you lovingly to success. Almost every problem we face is within our control, and all actions and their reactions are created by us. That's what a good coach shows you. A great coach will end the session with the same sentence every time. You know what to do, now go and do it. When you have a coach in your life, you have a second layer of personal accountability because your coach is coming back and you have to share what you did. When you are on your own, you can convince yourself of any number of ways to do anything. But when you know your coach is coming back, you also know that he or she is going to hold you accountable. So, whether you self-coach or get a coach, recognize that we all need to be coached. Recognize that reflection by intention or reflection through coaching makes you stronger for yourself and others. We can only grow in our ability to serve others if we maintain a healthy level of vulnerability and humility. Having a coach or strongly reflecting on your actions ensures that you will be accountable to not just yourself, but to a higher purpose, and most importantly, to everyone you serve. So let's do some smart thinking. Do you have the courage to coach yourself? Can you practice self-coaching techniques this week, especially the one of writing out a process map? Can you reflect using self-talk? Do you have the ability to challenge the stories in your head so that you can be clear moving forward? And finally, who could be your coach? That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. Please remember to share this on your social media platform. And as always, thank you to the Well Pennies for their awesome music. If you are interested in getting a coach, you can contact me at ted@cesa6.org. And I would also suggest you look into groups like Vistage for opportunities to participate in coaching and coaching groups. Finally, I want to thank my coach, Jim Reed. Jim has been my professional mentor and coach. He not only inspired this podcast, he's been a great friend and mentor for me for a long time. He's frank and honest. He has integrity, is kind, and he has always challenged me to confront the stories in my head. He is retiring from his coaching business in order to pursue a much higher calling, and I again find myself admiring him for the decisions he's made. And it makes me hope for all of you listening that you too can run into a person that will guide you, keep you honest, and make you better, just like Jim did for me. Thanks, Coach. There's a song horizon, just you wait and see. Won't you take my hand and shake the world with me? Shake the world with me. Shake the world with me.